just say standing. We're going to open in prayer. So, Father God, thank you, thank you, thank you. I just feel so full of thanksgiving today because of who you are. You are, I don't even have enough descriptive words to describe how amazing you are. But here we are as a family, and we're about to just engage with you. And so I pray, Papa God, that you would just let the Holy Spirit speak and impart life into each spirit, each heart today here. Lord, unlock our spiritual ears to hear what you're saying to us. Reveal Jesus more and more, that we can be more and more like him. And Lord, just take this time and let it not just be another hour that passes in our life, but let it be a time when we encounter you. And we don't want to leave here the same. We want to be changed to be more like you. And this is my prayer this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you can be seated. Okay, who brought their Bibles today? Yeah? I'm actually looking for some volunteers to do some reading because we've got quite a few passages we want to get through today. So I want, Russell, if you can get one of the, have we got a second cordless mic that works? Okay, well, I will take the green one when it's time and we'll pass this mic around. But put your hand up if you're willing to read some scriptures into the mic. You can just do it from where you're seated. Yeah, one, anyone else? Who else wants to read? Yeah, John, Ian. So anyone else happy to do some reading? Allison, yeah, awesome. All right, that's four. Okay, so I'm going to give you some scriptures, and then when we get to them, so you can look them up in advance. Okay. So Javita, can you look up? Actually, I'm going to give you the first one because I know you've got the Amplified, so it'll just expand our minds. So Isaiah 61:3. Yeah, thank you. And then Ian. Yes, verses 1-3. Yeah. Isaiah 60:1-3. Ian, you might as well do Isaiah 60:21. Allison, can you do Matthew 6:31-33? And John, can you do Romans 5:6-11? That would be awesome. So if you can pre-find those, we're going to get to a lot of word today. And I don't want to do all the reading. And also, is there one more volunteer? I've got one more passage I really want someone to read. Who else wants to read for me? One more volunteer? Marion. Awesome. Can you look up Romans 5:17-19? Are you all good? Does anyone need their references again? You're right? Okay. And now the rest of you can follow along too. I'm just excited for this. Okay, I want to talk about seeking first his righteousness, God's righteousness. And we're going to have actually a really fun time together. But I just want to check before I go any further, does anyone object to having a little bit of fun? Do you all like, you object? Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Look, I'm seriously wanting to have some fun. So, all right, we're going to start with Janita. So I'm going to switch mics. Jeremy, would you mind taking the mic around for me? That would be awesome.
Are you ready for Janita now?
Yes.
So everyone else, can you turn, if you want to follow along in your Bibles, Isaiah 60:1-3. You got it.
All right. No. Arise from the depression and frustration in which circumstances have kept you, rise to a new life. Shine, be radiant with the glory of the Lord. For your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and dense darkness, O peoples, but the Lord shall arise upon you, O Jerusalem, and his glory shall be seen on you. And nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising.
So good. Thank you. If you'll just sit there, because Ian will be next. Thanks, Jeremy. Yes. Okay. So here's what struck me with this. I can't get out of Isaiah 60 and 61 lately. I don't know how to say this except to just say it. So I haven't seen anything yet, thank God, but I have heard already that some of the stuff presented in the opening ceremony of the Olympics wasn't great. Has anyone else heard of that or seen it? Yeah. You know what happens?
Yeah.
You know what happens? When we believe in Jesus and we love God, and then we see a whole lot of stuff that's completely opposite, we can have one of two reactions. We can be super offended because it's just so distasteful. Or we can see the gross darkness and realize we need to arise and shine.
Yes.
Do you know, we are not, what's the word? I feel like I've got a thesaurus in my brain. I'm looking for just the right one. I'm going to go with helpless. We're not helpless. When we see gross evil and wickedness, we don't have to feel despondent. There's another one.
Like that.
Or discouraged. It's intimidated. Maybe I'll go with that one. I like that one. Thank you. I will have it. That's awesome. We don't have to be intimidated by evil. Because guess what? Darkness can never overcome light. So when we walked in here this morning, it was dim. And then I went down to the sound desk and I flicked a switch and it became light. And all the dimness in this room could not compete with the power of the light. And that's how it is in the world. We can look at the world and get really discouraged and say, there's even more murders than ever before. There's even more darkness. There's even more destruction and deception. And people just absolutely lost their way. And we can be discouraged, or we can go, oh my goodness, it's time to arise and shine. It really, really is. Now, this is an incredible prophecy in Isaiah chapter 60. I'm going to jump more towards the end. I'm going to get Ian now to read verse 21. So if you've got it open, can you look at verse 21 of Isaiah 60? Thanks, Ian.
All your people will be righteous. They will possess their land forever. For I will plant them there with my own hands in order to bring myself glory.
Wow. Also, your people shall all be righteous. What an amazing promise. What would it look like if we had a generation of righteous people? What would that look like? And what does it mean to be righteous? This has been something that I've been pondering and looking at the scriptures, because I see it popping up all the time. And we're going to get now to Matthew 6. So who did I give that one to? Was that Alice, John? Allison. Sorry. So let's read this. Go quickly in your Bibles, Matthew chapter 6. Many of you will know this one very well. It's Jesus talking to us on how to deal with the worries, anxieties, stresses, and pressures of life on a day-to-day basis. And so as we read this, this is Jesus' answer to the daily grind. Because I believe there's something far more that God has for us than mere existence in Him. He wants to take us all to another level where we are thriving in Him. We're truly alive, not just getting up and surviving another day, finding the toothpicks and hello everyone. Three coffees later and I'll be all right. There is so much more for us, and this is the key here that Jesus gave us in Matthew 6, 31 to 33. Thank you, Allison.
Therefore, do not worry, saying, what will we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what will we wear? For
For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you.
Wow, okay. Two instructions. That works for me, because more than that, I'm likely to forget. So, seek first the kingdom of God, and what was the second one? His righteousness. We're supposed to be seeking his righteousness. So, my next question is, well, how do I do that? How do I seek his righteousness? Have you ever woken up in the morning and said, today I'm looking for one thing. I am looking for the righteousness of God. Well, I'm starting to do that because he says, if I seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all the things that I need for my daily life will be more than handled and taken care of. So I want to live in a place of stress-free, in the sense that I'm not stressed about what bills I need to pay. I'm not stressed about what friends I have or don't have. I'm not stressed about anything. All I have is two pursuits, the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Next week, I'm going to talk about that first one, the kingdom of God. But this week, we're going to hone in on his righteousness. And this is where we're going to have a little bit of fun, okay? Because I am a visual person. Anyone else like to see things and it helps you get a hold of it? Yeah, there's a few visual learners in the room. So God speaks to me in a way through practical things that I can understand. I mean, all day long, there'll be something that I'm doing or a part of, and it's like, I get an understanding through the simplest of things. And so I'm going to show you some of what he showed me. But we need to read a couple more scriptures first. So Romans 5, 6 to 11, I believe this one's for John. And if you can read that, that would be awesome. Thank you.
For when the time was right, the Anointed One came and died to demonstrate his love for sinners who were entirely helpless, weak, and powerless to save themselves. Now, would anyone dare to die for the sake of a wicked person? We can all understand if someone was willing to die for a truly noble person, but Christ proved God's passionate love for us by dying in our place while we were still lost and ungodly. And there is still much more to say of his unfailing love for us. For through the blood of Jesus we have heard the powerful declaration, you are now righteous in my sight. And because of the sacrifice of Jesus, you will never experience the wrath of God. So if, while we were still enemies, God fully reconciled us to himself through the death of his Son, then something greater than friendship is ours. Now that we are at peace with God, and because we share in his resurrection life, how much more will we be rescued from sin's dominion? And even more than that, we will overflow with triumphant joy in our new relationship of living reconciled to God, all because of Jesus Christ.
Wow. I feel like I just could hear that again and again. Oh, I just got fed steak, sorry, just savoring the moment. Oh, that was awesome. Okay. So I'm going to demonstrate something to you. Jeremy, sorry, can I get you just through that door? Can you please bring my cleaning basket and then my vacuum? That would be awesome. Thank you. So as you know, we run a cleaning business, and I get to do an incredible thing. I feel so blessed about this. Do you know, I get to be a blessing every day to someone in their homes. Thank you. And oh yeah, that'd be good. Okay, so I have all different people that I clean for. But can I say it's really quite interesting. If you look around the room, most of us made some sort of an effort today to appear here. Like, I think the majority of you brushed your hair.
Yeah.
I'm not pointing anything out anywhere, but I'm just saying, I think most of you brushed your hair. You at least got dressed. You probably even thought a little bit about what you were going to wear. But I go into people's homes, and you know what happens? In your home, you can be a little bit more relaxed than you can anywhere else, right? Home is your zone to just totally be you. And so I go to people's homes. Thank you so much, sweetheart. I will give it on back to you. I'm on this one. Thank you, Russell. So I go into people's homes, and sometimes I'm met at the door, and people have still got their pajamas on because I'm there at 8 o'clock in the morning, and so they've still got their pajamas on. Some haven't had their coffee yet. And I get to go into the very heart of a home. Now, this is what I found, okay? It is a big mixture. Sometimes I go into a home and the first thing they do is apologize for the state of their home. I am so sorry, I've been that flat out, I haven't had a chance to get to the floors. I know that the dishes are piled up, but I'm just so sorry. And do you know what I say? I don't say, you didn't do your dishes? What kind of person are you? Oh, I am so offended by your dishes. I don't know if I can clean for you today. I mean, I and your floors. You didn't pre-clean your floors before I came. That is that. Look, we're going to have to rethink this job because, and look at the dust around. Oh, my goodness. Oh, it's filthy in here. You know, I don't go into a house with that attitude. I always say, look, it doesn't matter what your house looks like. That's why I'm here. I'm not here to judge your dirt. I'm here to clean it up. That's my job. I'm a cleaner. So don't worry about the dishes. Go and put your feet up, have a rest. You look like you had a rough night. When you emerge from the bedroom, your house will be sparkling and clean and smell beautiful, and you didn't have to do a thing. That's why I'm here. And you see, when I clean, I'm doing something for someone that they're not able to do for themselves. For whatever reason, they might be too busy, they might have little children, they might be having disability support. Whatever it is, there's something that inhibits them from being able to clean for themselves. So they put up the white flag of surrender and they say, I need some help. And I come bouncing up to the door and I go, I am so glad to be here. It's Sadie, the cleaning lady. I actually do say that to some of my clients, you know. They know I'm a bit strange. It's all good. But anyway, I'm here and I'm ready to clean. And what's exciting is I have all the equipment with me. So, and I take a personal affront to stains. So if you have a stain on your bench top, I'm telling you, it is no match for my mighty products. I will sort it out because dirt and I are going to battle it out and I always win. It's awesome. So I want to show you something here. I'm just going to plug this in. Okay. Let me just do this. Like, I'm not actually going to turn it on because it'll be too noisy. Okay.
Yeah, this is my power pack. I feel powerful against dirt. Ghostbusters.
Who are you going to call?
All right. Oh, my backup. So, guess what? When I'm at people's homes, I'm not looking at the dirt on the floor and thinking about what kind of people spilt this many crumbs.
I'm just going, did I get it all? Because I'm here on a mission. Right? I am on a mission to fully clean that house. And you know what I don't do? Unless I've sucked up some little kid's toy, this is the only time that I ever put my hand in the bag at the back. Because you don't want to go in the bag at the back. Woo! I've had to fish stuff out of there before, and it's not good, particularly when you know you sucked up a live spider just a few minutes before. Hallelujah. All right. So you know what? I don't leave someone's house and take out the vacuum bag and then tell everybody else, see the dirt that was in their house? It was so gross. I mean, look at all this dirt. What do I do with that vacuum bag? I put it in the bin. And it gets taken away forever. This is what Jesus does for us. You see, we had dirty homes that we could never clean. And he didn't come to our door full of condemnation. He didn't walk around the room going, I see you really, really let yourself go. He didn't condemn us. He arrived at the door of our house and he said, I'm here to make you clean. You go into that bedroom, you put your feet up, and you rest, and I will do the work in you, and I will make you clean. You know what's amazing, and we're going to get to this scripture, is that it says, though, that we have been given the ministry of reconciliation with others. So now that we've been made right with God, we get the opportunity to help others be made right with God. So let me ask you something. When you see someone and there's a whole lot of stuff in their life that's like dirt, it's gross, what do you think your approach should be? Do you think you should go into their life and go, oh, you've got sin! Unclean, stay away from me! No, you know what though? We often judge one another, but we're actually carrying Christ, who is the answer to the sin problem. So dirt does not offend me as a cleaner because I see it as my opportunity to make a difference. And we should not look at the depth of darkness in this world and be so offended that we can't make a difference. Like, we are the cleaners. We have Jesus. He's the one who is in us and given us the job of reconciliation. To go up and not condemn people, not point out the obvious, not say, oh, I see you've got a lot of dishes in your sink. Well, 10 points, you must have went to university to be that clever. Hey, no, nobody needs help having their problems pointed out. Most of us are well aware of the amount of times we've fallen short. What we need is someone to come with the solution to our problem. To say, I know a cleaning product that works every time. It's the blood of Jesus. There's no stain that can outdo the blood of Jesus. There's no sin that can outdo the blood of Jesus. There's absolutely no darkness that can stop the blood of Jesus effectively cleansing our sin. 1 John 1:9 says, but if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, I want to unpack this a little bit. Let me just get this off for a sec. Okay. Let's see. All right. So, why does it say he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us? Why does it say he's faithful and just? Not just faithful. The reason it says he's just is because he is legally allowed to forgive us of our sins because they have already been paid for with the blood of Jesus. You know, God can't just forgive sin without the sacrifice of sin being met. But because of his son, we can be completely forgiven made righteous. Ah, oh, listen, our righteousness, the Bible says, is like filthy rags. But his righteousness is what we want to pursue. So I do have some people, and they try and clean and do stuff before I get there. Some of them even try and clean alongside me. But at the end of the day, my job is to make their home clean. And Jesus is not looking for you to try and perfect yourself. Has anyone actually had success with that? Can I just see a show of hands all over this room? How many have been great at perfecting themselves? Yeah, I know, it's kind of hard, right? In fact, I don't know about you, but I've got certain areas of my life that I think, really? I did that again? How many times? I've lost count how many times I've done that same thing. God, how do you keep forgiving me? I'm frustrated at me. Well, you know what? We can get victory over sin in our life when we begin to realize how we are made righteous. We are not made right with God because of our actions. Our actions become right when we realize how we're made right. We are made right with God through the cleansing blood of Jesus, the work that he did for us on the cross. As John read it so beautifully, this was a gift to us, the gift of righteousness. We're going to read that, actually, Romans 5, 17 to 19, Marion. I'll give Jeremy this mic. Oh, you got one? Okay. Oh, that's awesome. Thank you.
For the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of righteousness. For all who receive it will live in triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. Yes, Adam's one sin brings condemnation for everyone, but Christ's one act of righteousness brings a right relationship with God and new life for everyone. Because one person disobeyed God, many became sinners. But because one other person obeyed God, many will be made righteous.
So in those last two words, can you just say them a few times, the last two words, Mary?
Made righteous. Made righteous. Made righteous. Made righteous.
Made righteous. So who is making them righteous? Do we have any ideas? Jesus. Yes. Jesus is the one who makes us righteous by his righteous act of dying on the cross for us. A bit earlier, Mary read, the gift of righteousness. It's through the gift of righteousness. So, on your birthday, how many of you go out and work really, really hard to earn your birthday present? Do you do that? Why not? Because if you have to work hard for your birthday present, that's not a gift, is it? That's something that then you are owed. That's wages. You know, if someone said to me, look, I have a really cool present for you, but you need to work for me 10 hours for me to give it to you. I'd be like, oh, you know, I'm a bit busy. Just keep the gift. It's all good. That's not a gift. The gift of righteousness is not something we work for. And when we really understand this, I'm telling you, it unlocks something that unlocks everything else. It's like that first domino. Ooh. And yeah, you go tink. And that one little domino doesn't look like it has much power or effect in itself. But when it pushes against the one behind it, what happens? Right? It's the thing that sets off everything. This is it. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all. Can you say that word? All? All these things will be added unto you. So seek first his righteousness. That means get up, you say in the morning, oh, thank God I have been made completely perfect before a holy God. I have 100% access to the throne room because my standing with God is pure. I am holy because of the blood of Jesus. I am made righteous. You see, that even becomes part of our armor. Remember, there's a breastplate of righteousness. When we realize that we are made right with God, there is no obstruction. So when you come to God, you're not thinking, did I pray enough? Did I read the Bible enough? Was I faithful enough so that my prayer will be answered? That's not supposed to come into the equation, because when that is in the equation, I'm telling you, unfortunately, your prayers probably won't be answered. Because when you're relying on your ability to please God, you will inevitably fail. But when you're relying on Jesus, who is 100% perfect 100% of the time, and he is the one who represents you to God, you can have full confidence that you are right with him, and therefore you can have open, honest communication with him and not be feeling like, this isn't really going to work, because in the back of my mind, I know I'm not worthy. I know I don't qualify. When we disqualify ourselves, we then put a stop to that domino effect. We got to take that disqualification away because Jesus made us righteous. Do you know when you've been made righteous, you don't desire to sin? Just like on my wedding day, and I had my beautiful white wedding dress on, I did not go out looking for mud puddles to jump in. Okay, I know that might be surprising, but no, when I was dressed, my most exquisite, beautiful gown on, I wasn't out there looking for mud puddles to jump in with my beautiful white wedding shoes. I was looking how to avoid the mud, because I want to be beautiful for my groom. And this is what happens when he makes us clean. We're not out there looking for ways to get dirty again. We're in awe and wonder of what he's done. And the more we focus on what he's done, the more like him we become. But he does the cleaning in us. We have to open the door. Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and I will sup with him and he with me. The way to get clean is you have to open the door to the cleaner. You know, I've arrived at some places and they forgot I was coming. And they didn't leave any way for me to get in. And so I was there fully equipped, ready to go, ready to clean. But there was no access, no entry. If we want to be fully clean, we just have to open up. And stop being ashamed of your worst rooms. We all have them. We all have that one spot that we think, yeah, I need to get to that. It's getting a bit out of hand. But we can let him freely into any room of our home because he's not coming with judgment. He's coming with the power to make it better, to clean you, change you, and release you. You will be made righteous. How does that happen? Well, Romans 10, 8 to 10, many of you will know this, but I want to read it again. It says, but what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. We become righteous when we believe in our heart that Jesus is enough, more than enough. Not our efforts, not our works. When we believe in him completely, we are made righteous. What he did for us, we're letting in, he can cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So awesome. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. 2 Corinthians 5:21. All right. How am I going? I forgot that one stopped up there. Okay. Yeah, cool. All right. So I just want to leave you with one other sort of a thought here, and we're going to finish up for the morning. Two thoughts, actually. So here's the first one. No more than three. Thank you. I might take that. So here's the first thought. It's wonderful to feel clean. How many of you like it when your home is clean? The floors are vacuumed, mopped. You feel good, don't you? I like being clean. How many of you like someone coming to your home unexpectedly and you have got folding everywhere, the washing machine's going, the dishes are... You like it when they come like that, huh? Oh, my goodness.
Shows that we're real.
Shows that we're real. Well, this is true. But you know what? We normally kind of, I just wish I could get on top of things before people arrive. Can I just put out to us today, let's not be in the ministry of condemnation, but the ministry of reconciliation. So we've all had times where we've fallen short. So let's not look at other people's shortcomings and be like, you need to fix this and you need to fix that, and the self-appointed judge. Let's come with a spirit of humility and point people always back to Jesus. We're not supposed to be the condemners. We're supposed to be the ones bringing salvation and the message of the gospel into the earth. So that one I wanted to just leave with you. I think so much more could be done if we actually began to enter into a loving relationship with each other. Rather than pointing out our faults, go, wow, I'm going to see you the way Jesus sees you. Because he doesn't see you faulty, but faultless. Because he took all of our mistakes, sin, pride, regrets, everything upon himself. Okay, here's my second thought. I want to challenge you to something this week if you're up for it. And if you remember. But have a look at the promises throughout Scripture for the righteous. Can anyone think of one? Can you think of a promise that might that is in the Bible for the righteous? Anyone think of one? Would you like some scriptures? Okay, 1 Peter 3:12 says, "The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers." How cool is that? When you know you're righteous, something happens. You begin to access things in God that have always been a struggle up till now, and all of a sudden it's like access granted, access granted. Okay, Psalms 5:12 says, "You will bless the righteous with favor. You will surround him as with a shield." Another version says, "You will surround him with the shield of your love." Wow. How many of you want to walk shielded by the love of God? That is awesome to me. Because you know what that tells me? If I'm shielded by the love of God and people come at me with hate, it's going to bounce right off. It's not going to affect me. If I'm walking in the favor and the law of the Lord and he is a shield of love around me and people try and tell me what I can't do, all I'm listening to is what he says I can do. I am shielded. This is the blessing for the righteous. There are so many blessings. David said, "I have been young and now I'm old." I'm not confessing that. I'm quoting David. But I have never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. The righteous are as bold as a lion, another one says. The righteous will never be shaken. How many of you know right now the world is in a shaking? There isn't hardly a nation that's not starting to feel some tremors. There's a shaking politically. There's a shaking in economically.
There's shakings in the religious sectors. There's shakings and rumblings of wars and rumors of wars. And there's just shaking and chaos everywhere. But it says the righteous will never be moved. So this is the key. When you know you're in right standing with God, listen to this. 1 John 3:21 to 23 says, "Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God." How many of you would love to come in 100% confident and know, I'm about to ask God for something and it's about to happen? Do you know, if my kids come and they say, "Mom, you left in a pineapple in the cupboard?" "Yes." "Can we have that?" "Sorry." "Awesome. Thank you. Can we have that pineapple?" And I say yes. I don't have to wonder about if that tin of pineapple is still going to be in the cupboard tomorrow. Because the moment I say yes, they grab a hold of it. And this is what he's saying. We can have that kind of confidence towards God if our heart doesn't condemn us. And whatever we ask, we receive from him. How many want to pray and whatever you ask, you receive? I want to be there. Okay. Because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. How do we keep his commandments and do what is pleasing in his sight? Because we've been made brand new. We are a new creation, so we have new desires within us. We don't want the old things anymore. We want to please him because he put a new heart in us. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. So simple. If we keep his commandments, it says we can ask and we will receive from him. And what were his commandments? Believe on the name of his son Jesus Christ and love one another. Believe on Jesus and love one another. That there is Christianity. Believe on him, love one another. Because when you believe on him, you're putting your whole trust in him. Honestly, one of the homes I cleaned for, they came home while I was in the middle of cleaning and they were so exhausted. They looked at me and they said, "Would you mind if I just go into that back bedroom and sleep? I am wrecked." And I was like, "I don't mind at all." Because we've got to realize that God doesn't mind. Just come. Let him cleanse you. But then once you realize you're cleansed, you can have that guilty conscience removed. You can be aware of who you are. And you can come boldly before the throne of grace. When we seek his righteousness, all these things will be added unto us. So I want to put a challenge out to you. Seek his righteousness. Do that by looking to him, the perfect one. Every day, keep looking to him, keep looking to him. He's perfect, he's sinless, he's spotless, and he's made you righteous. He's gifted righteousness to you. You are in right standing with God when you believe on him, and you can come boldly before God's throne. So many times people pray and they say, "I believe God can, I just don't know if he will." Well, today I believe this is your key. When you know you're righteous, you don't only believe God can, you know he will. You know he will. Because you are in right standing with him, and whatever you ask, you will receive. You know why that is? It's because you come into oneness with him. And his heart becomes your heart. So what you're asking for is already what's in his heart. You're one. You're loving one another. And he gives you the desires of your heart. Absolutely amazing. Would you stand to your feet with me today, please? I believe there's some watching online and there's some in this room today, perhaps, and you've never opened the door to Jesus, the ultimate cleaner.
You're too embarrassed, maybe you've never understood before, maybe you thought you had to do it all yourself, you had to just improve and be a better person and make those changes. But today I want to tell you, there is a wonderful cleaner. His name is Jesus. He makes our sins as white as snow. Not just that, it says he doesn't remember them anymore. So Jesus is not going to drag up your past, but he is going to tell you, I have a future for you and a hope. You see, he said, I know the plans I have for you. They are plans for good and not for evil, to give you a future and to give you a hope. If you would just close your eyes across this room today, I just want to ask if there's anyone in this room that needs to receive Jesus, needs to be cleansed of their sins. Don't go another day drowning in all of that stuff. Allow him in. Allow him to do what you could never do for yourself, because he's so willing. If that's you, and if you're watching online, you say, Anita, that's me. I want to become clean today. With every head bowed and eyes closed in this place, I just want you to put your hand up and say, that's me. I just want to acknowledge that's me. I want to become clean today. Just put your hand up all across this room. Those watching online, if you're not driving, you can put your hand up too. And I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to lead you in just a simple prayer. Is there anyone else that wanted to be included? Thank you. I can see those hands. Is there anyone else? We're just going to give a few more minutes. Put those hands up, Anita, that's me. I want to be clean. I want to be cleansed of my sin. I want to enter into God's family. We're going to pray this simple prayer. I'm just going to say it. You can say it after me. The Bible just said, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God rose him from the dead, you will be saved. He will come and clean you. So why don't you say this after me? Dear Jesus, I open the door of my heart. Come in and make your home in me. Please cleanse me of all my sin. Wash me in the blood of Jesus and make me whole. I choose to follow you. I believe in you. That you are the Son of God and that you gave your life for me. Take me into your family. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.